SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com as well. And midweek and back to wearing a quilted vest. And if I was smart, I'd be wearing gloves. This is just idiotic. Unbelievable. Enough already. I mean, it's May. It's the end of May. It's almost June. Living here, I don't mind this at the end of summer. You know, at the end of summer, at Saratoga, you get those cool mornings. I mean, you get relatively cool mornings anyway, but this is silly. Enough. Speaking of silliness, yeah. Quite a day yesterday. I'll bring it up with Sid Fernando, because Sid's got an excellent perspective and a way to integrate the current affairs into the discussion. I really don't know even what to say anymore to Senator Feinstein's office and. You know, the PETA insanity. I mean, what's the right response to these people? I mean the gut response is just to roll your eyes and shake your head in disbelief. Who knew that Senator Feinstein was so accomplished and well versed in the care and maintenance of the thoroughbred racehorse. Remarkable. Now she's wondering about starts, about how often she's questioning that now. She's obviously, when you read the statement that was issued from her office, it's so obvious and transparent about the agenda-driven portion. I love the international comparison. Gosh, another area of expertise that her office clearly is so well versed in is the international level and amount of incidents. it's remarkable, and the PETA starts there. They've come back with another missive, you know. Racing should stop until every jurisdiction puts in the kinds of controls and initiatives that California has. But of course, in California, the senator's office is calling for a halt to racing. It's just unbelievable that you've got people that have no connection, they're completely distanced and have no understanding, throwing out these disruptive and unproductive suggestions. I don't even know what to call them. It's just, and that you know, that certain elements of the industry want to take those seriously is astounding too. The best response on Twitter, which you know, has its moments. Alan Mann, who is for years and he hasn't been as active, Alan, when it's come to his racing and industry commentary. But Alan, the cleverly named blog Left at the Gate, Alan sent out yesterday a series of tweets, which was just really edifying and eye-opening about what kind of things the PETA people have called for in recent memory. And it includes an investigation in Georgia because a snake was killed in the making of a movie. that got me. How about calling for universities to stop using live animal mascots? The changing of the lexicon to take things like guinea pig out of the word usage. Alan's point was that it was Alabama. I said Georgia. The filming a Netflix movie where the snake was killed. And Alan really summed it up. The point of the prior tweets is that PETA calls for a lot of things. They're lunatics. You know, suspending racing is another wackadoodle proposal that is not going to happen any more than we're going to kill two birds with one stone. Good for Alan. And I applauded that approach because this is just, I mean, it's obviously a logical result of Belinda Stronach inviting PETA's participation, you know, which if they thought that was going to be productive. And everybody continues to wonder what the end game here is actually for Stronach Group and what their, you know, what appears to be a, you know, particularly on the California front, kind of a rudderless ship. It's got to make it difficult for everybody. You know, and yesterday you heard from, we talked to Carla Gaines and Mark Glatt, and Carla, I could tell Carla didn't really care to, you know, delve too deeply into, you know, the situation from the winter. And you know, I did ask her. I wanted, you know, that was, I thought, a very germane question to ask her. You know, when bringing a horse like Bolo back at the age of seven, you know, how much of, you know, the current atmosphere weighed on her, and you know, and the ownership group, you know, knowing that if God forbid anything happened to the horse, you'd be maligned from every, you know, from every angle, which is, you know, which has become the, as we discussed with Mark, you know, it's become a scenario of, you know, vultures on the fence waiting, you know, by the side of the road waiting for, you know, an animal to get hit by a car. And, you know, and then swooping in. And that's what it is. It's a sensationalism driven by, you know, no real understanding, just an opportunity to exploit. So we'll see what Sid. I'll let Sid opine. I asked him last night, and I said I would love to hear from you because Sid's got a very, very good ability to, you know, to look to the horizon and around a few corners. So. We'll see what he says, because I'm exhausted by it. I, you know, we've been, and the you know, the bottom line that really is the most frustrating. I mean, there's a lot of frustrating elements to this. The most glaring, you know, the difficulty of helping people understand this, and the various, you know, the various causal elements when you get spates of breakdowns and fatalities, because it's intricate and it's involved. I mean, everything about the sport and the industry is involved. It's a complex equation at every turn, and that's the root of all the challenges that the industry faces, including, you know, people becoming horse players. It's complex. It's not simple. It takes effort and trial and error and investment spending, as it were. You know, there's a lot to get people to the game, and then there's a lot of things within the game of horse play that is intimidating and challenging. Not to even include the cost of a bet, which, you know, continues to be just an added burden to the whole equation. But, you know, virtually every area of the game is hard to explain to people and the industry. And so, in an era, particularly in the era of media that is just so one-dimensional. Yeah, for instance, in fact, I saw where Rich Migliore yesterday, and Rich was very patient and answered someone's question. And someone said, well, what happens to the horses that, you know, that don't make it as racehorses? Did they go to slaughter? And Rich very patiently explained, you know, what, you know, what the options are, and, you know, what the, you know, various second careers and, you know, off the track thoroughbred options are. But it, the frustration that is at the head of this is that none of it was necessary. None. Zero. Nada. And keep that in mind, that everything that's going on now was not necessary, and, you know, the conflagration that was created as a diversion from the actual fault involved in creating the conditions by which, you know, horses, you know, were in position to, you know, to be vulnerable. That continually seems to be forgotten. So, not that's going to change where things are today, and having to deal with, you know, with what is placed in front of us on a daily basis, it seems. It's just ridiculous. On a very positive note, I want to congratulate John White. And I was hoping on Monday, when John was going to be on, that I could congratulate him publicly, but the news hadn't reached him, actually. But the Joe Hirsch Awards that the NYRA Communications Department bestows for coverage of the Belmont Stakes in particular went to John and to Paul Volpone. And you're saying, Paul Volpone, is that it? Did they name him for the horse? No, the horse was named for him. Congratulations to Paul, who wrote a really interesting, his piece was about the mechanics of riding the mile and a half, And John's was, you know, one's basically a spot news piece, and the other is more of a feature. The awards to the Joe Hirsch winners each year. And John's piece was a Justify recap, really not just of the Belmont, but of the whole Triple Crown. And I know John was absolutely thrilled. And the press office, Pat McKenna, had tried to reach him for several days. And I kept asking Pat, I said, can I congratulate him? Can I congratulate him? And he said, no, I haven't reached him yet. Finally yesterday. He said, the press release is going out. So John, wonderful honor for John. And he's particularly, he said he generally doesn't really submit these kinds of things for these kinds of honors. But because specifically it was the Joe Hirsch, and because of, you know, his overlap with Joe at DRF, and just the honor of having an award like this with Joe's name on it, means a lot to John and to Paul too. Paul Volpone's been around a long time and does a very good job. And they'll be recognized at the draw next Tuesday. And we're going back to Citi Field. I have to fight to not say Shea Stadium every single time. Back to Citi Field for the draw next Tuesday. So I think the Giants are in town. We'll take a break. Pete Thorne, it's Al. We'll talk to Sid, we'll talk to Andy, Mike Welch, Seth Merrow, Rudy Brissett at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
A Triple Crown for the ages wraps up with the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 8th. And no matter who you're betting in the Belmont, your best bet is with ExpressBet. ExpressBet's world-famous Belmont Stakes Wager Guide is available Friday, May 31st. It features analysis, insights, and picks from handicappers like Millie Ball, Steve Bick, and Jeff Siegel. Plus, cash in on ExpressBet's promotions, including a money-back guarantee on the Belmont Stakes and a 10% Exacta bonus on Gold Cup Friday. And if you don't have an ExpressBet account yet, now is the perfect time to get started. New customers who sign up before the Belmont get up to a $500 welcome bonus. Your best bet is with ExpressBet. Visit ExpressBet.com to learn more. And remember to join ExpressBet on Saturday, June 8th to watch and bet the Belmont Stakes. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse offers the year-round excitement of live thoroughbred racing and full card simulcasting from tracks across the country. Check out hcpn.com for the latest racing calendar, wagering information, daily entries, and results. All you need to enjoy your day at the races. June 1st will be the biggest day ever at Penn National, highlighted by the $500,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile. First post, 2:45 p.m.
breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just awaking. So get that needle in the core, scratch that back and give me more. You know exactly what I came here for. Back it up and do it again. From the middle to the top to the end.
We're back at the races and about 20 in, exactly 20 in on this Wednesday. Time to visit with Pete Fornital. And Pete was cryptic. He said he had good cell reception, so God knows where he is. Where are you?
I am in the hills of Piedmont as we speak.
Oh!
I wish you guys could see this view. I'm looking out and seeing some of the vineyards of Barolo and surrounds. I'm on top of a hill where we're staying for my brother's wedding, which will be happening this weekend. Really excited to get to see a lot of my family and meet the latest members via marriage family. It's really going to be a great, great week up here. We were in Milan the last few days and just arrived about an hour ago. Take this visit with you and the At the Races listeners, Steve.
Excellent. And I knew you were headed there, and I didn't know exactly what the itinerary was. But this sounds just wonderful. Our big wedding is going to be in near Cazenovia. That's our big wedding next month.
Very nice.
It's not exactly the Piedmont, but I love it. I love it. And what was it, Saturday, or when's the wedding?
Yes, the wedding is Saturday. We have a few days of, as befits a destination wedding such as this, we have a few days of activities leading up to. But the big day is Saturday, and really just extremely excited, and also very grateful that in a season where it's so easy to land on the wrong day between Royal Ascot and various Triple Crown races. Couldn't ask for a better day of a brother's wedding than this Saturday.
Well, it's funny because there's been a few of these. Gary Siaka just came back. I think Gary and Joe and the kids just came back from Sicily. They were in Italy for a wedding, and this was like, you know, literally one of those Sicilian weddings that, you know, I think most of us have seen at least one in the movies. I never really thought about this. Although Tina and I eloped, so we basically stole off to get married in the Thousand Islands. But it wasn't like we invited people and they had to come. I mean, is he marrying an Italian girl, or is this like a getaway occasion? They just chose to get married there.
Yeah, Lisa is American through and through, but Mark works in the Italian wine business. So it's kind of funny, the professions in my family. You've got me with the various, you know, gambling associations. We've got Mark with the wine associations, and then my youngest brother, Steven, who's NYPD. So we've got the gambler, the wine guy, and the cop.
you should compare notes with Rich Migliori. Rich has got, he's got that kind of a, this feels like an episode of Blue Bloods to some degree. All right, I love it. Too funny. Well, it sounds wonderful, and best wishes. We hope to see lots of pictures, and you can relay the experience. Meanwhile, back on these shores, I caught up with Quigley on Friday. Hadn't talked to him in weeks, and so we got a little bit of a little snapshot of what's been going on with him and the players, particularly in the Logan. And we talked a little Preakness contest. What else have you been tracking?
Well, the $500 live bank contest they had last weekend was one that I was paying attention to. TQ does such a great job covering all the contest content over on Twitter at Quigley's_corner. And the winner was a name we've heard from in the past, Steve. Dan Kaplan, the former Horse Player World Series winner, ran his original $300 starting bankroll up to $2,350. And for that, he received a bonus of $7,500 in cash, plus his 2020 entry to the NHC. And he wasn't the only NHC winner on last weekend. Len Hansen, a name I'm not as familiar with, ran his bankroll up to over $1,100, and for that received $3,750 and a 2020 NHC entry. So there was a lot of prizes being won. Santa Anita, they've kept at it with their role in the contest world through their bigger events like the Preakness Challenge we talked about last week and also these $500 live bankroll events. Nobody does a better job than them. And other tracks should really take notice of this, where even if you're not a contest player, you can go there on the weekends and play in their $40 low roller contest. They have these sort of middle events, the $500 level, and then the bigger events. I think some places just want to pluck a $3,000 event or whatever it is in the middle of the schedule. And, you know, that's great, and you'll get people. But if you really want to make your rank-and-file fans into contest players, it's great to provide the array of options that Santa Anita does, and always fun to give shout-outs and follow them along here with you on at the races on our these fun Wednesday visits.
Well, and you know, we mentioned last week some of the scheduling, and as I told people yesterday, I'm a little hamstrung without a computer for a few days as the laptop gets repaired. But in addition to Santa Anita, I know Lone Star continued some of their qualifying activities, and then looking ahead, obviously, you know, next week, the 2 days on Friday and Saturday on track, the Belmont Stakes Challenge next Friday, and then on Saturday, you know, they come back with another, you know, with the second. They're going to give out four seats both the Friday and Saturday. Always popular, plenty of online opportunities, but the big local on site is Saturday and Friday in New York.
And don't forget, I believe Monmouth, now it's too late, unfortunately, to sign up for the Pick Your Prize. If you're not already in, I'm 98% sure you can't get into that. So you could call Brian Skirk and plead your case, and who knows. But they're also doing, I believe, one of these smaller money ones on Sunday at Monmouth. So if you're somebody who's coming to New York and looking to play in Monmouth and stick around for the big Belmont contest over the weekend, check in with Brian Skirk and see what the full menu is this weekend, because I do believe there's a baby version of the, it's not a pick your prize format, but another opportunity to get your contest feet wet at Monmouth and some other fun activities going on there. And then, as you mentioned, the big thing, Belmont Stakes weekend, you still have an opportunity to sign up for that. That's obviously very big money. But if you're going to be betting that kind of money anyway, as I always say, you might as well bet it in the context of the contest and get a chance to participate in that prize pool as well. They've tweaked the format there. I might be writing a piece for them, but you can get all the information over at the NYRA website about the big Belmont betting challenge as well. And we'll certainly be providing full coverage of both Pick Your Prize and the Belmont betting challenge, both here and over on my In the Money Players podcast as well. Going to be some big winners coming up in the next few weeks in the contest world.
Well, and you know, later in the month too, for those planning ahead, there's a couple of interesting things. I mean, there's that Santa Anita $3,000 contest closing weekend at Santa Anita, and there's also Caesars has got an interesting opportunity, because they're doing something with all of their properties, and that'll be at Louisiana Downs and Indiana Grand and Hoosier Park, Harris Philadelphia and Chester, as well as their OTB system. Another, you know, the other half a dozen locations that they operate. It's kind of I've kind of always wondered why there hasn't been more of this from the the ownership groups that have got, I mean, obviously Stronach does it, but it, you know, that's basically three, you know, coordinated effort between, you know, three or four properties. But Boyd and Caesars and, Penn National, certainly, I mean, there's this opportunity really to tie together multiple locations and have, you know, the sort of, power of you know, of quantity, you know, tied in. This is interesting. I'll get more. I'll bring this up with Bill Downs next week when we do our Indiana Grand visit.
I definitely want to follow up on that. It might be something we can help them publicize. And I agree, it's a great idea to try to weave together multiple properties. That's just going to mean more of a prize pool, which is one of the things contest players are always looking for. And we'll have to just see what kind of, if they're doing seats, if they're doing cash. We'll try to get all the details and relay a lot more about it. But I'm with you, Steve. The more we're in a space now, you know, we've got our established contests in the contest world that some people will build their year around. But I'm of the belief that there's still room for a lot of room for innovation and creativity. And I want to applaud efforts like that and take a look at how they're constructing their deal, and happy to offer some free consulting also to try to make those into the best they can be. I think it's, you know, my opinion about this stuff, and generally it's true in racing, whether we're talking about the broadcasting stuff that we do or the contest stuff that I participated in. I believe that a rising tide lifts all ships, and I'm very happy to try to cross-pollinate and help out wherever possible, and certainly reward creativity like it sounds like it's coming from our friends at Caesars.
Well, and if you're gonna use the rising tide analogy, you've got to pay the royalties to Seth Merrow, because Seth, I'm pretty sure Seth, there's a few of those catchphrases, including rising tide lifts all boats. That's a Seth Merrow.
I'm happy to pay the piper when it comes to Seth. One of the guys. I always enjoy the opportunity of chatting with him on his show. Whenever I get the chance, and somebody who's done a lot for the contest world in terms of promoting events in the capital region and beyond.
Well, in fact, they named the low roller contest after Seth. That
is, he's had some deep runs in it. That's for sure.
He's done well. Yeah, no, he's had his moments on the low roller, but no, he loves it. And he said it was listening to us, actually. He's another person that started to play because he got curious listening so often to the conversations. So it's not just Peter Dressens and Dan Hart and others that have become, you know, major contest scene types listening to you know, you and I extol the pleasures of playing in contest. A couple of notes, Pete. What's your own broadcast opportunities here between now and next week, and when are we going to see you at Belmont?
Well, it's funny. I actually think I'm going to take off my late week broadcast. We will have shows. We've got an In the Money podcast coming up, a Naira Betts podcast coming up, and also this new Pedigree podcast we're working on called the In the Ring Pedigree podcast. But Jonathan Kinchin is going to be making his hosting debut this week, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We were having trouble coordinating the schedules, and he volunteered to do it. He's feeling flush. He completed a successful jockey interview on Fox last weekend, so he's now ready to do some hosting, which I applaud the idea to be able to take a vacation day now and again. And then next week, I'll be back and we'll be full into Belmont Week coverage, which is going to be a lot of fun. Haven't figured out all the specifics of what the shows are going to be yet, but we'll definitely be going over the late pick five on one of them at Belmont on Saturday. We'll definitely be doing a deep dive into the race itself, which will be a lot of fun. And we may try to have some fun bonus content as well. And the Pedigree podcast has been a lot of fun. We've been getting some luminaries from the breeding and sales world tied into things that have been happening on the racetrack, and we're just going to look to keep building the momentum and keep that one going as well. So it's been fun to adding on some broadcasts. I almost feel like I have a proper job now, instead of a couple of months ago when I was just, you know, doing two shows a week and feeling like I had it made. I'm actually now almost a third of the way to working as hard as you, Steve.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of a you know, like a one of those Long Island Railroad train conductors that you know, always just go up and down the cars. Seeing some of the, you know, some new people and familiar people and just piloting things along. Pete, obviously, we're waiting to see how this field, you know, they'll draw Tuesday. I talked about that actually before you came on. Drawing Tuesday at Citi Field again. And it's funny because about 3 weeks ago, they really hadn't decided where they were going to do the draw. And Pat McKenna said, you know, what should we do? Should we go back to the stadium? And everybody had such a good time. You know, the decision was made you know, since the schedule was amenable, you know, to getting over there and doing the draw late afternoon before the game. And I can tell you, everybody, you know, a lot of the participants hung around and we actually watched several innings with Dale Romans and Tammy and their team. We were out in the left field corner, actually. It was a really good time. So that'll be a great way to, you know, kind of wade into the action. But Dave Granick, and actually we'll talk later to Mike Welch, and Mike will give us you know, at least some of the weekend work, particularly Tacitus. And, you know, we now have got a few days of galloping from Master Fencer in New York. And in fact, Mike said he went very well today. So we're going to start to get a look at that field. But it I think a little surprising that we don't have more, you know, a couple more horses. Right now it looks like a field of nine. If they were to draw today, it would be nine. And I'm a little surprised that, you know, we haven't gotten a 10th, 11th, 12th participant.
I agree. I think the distance might intimidate some trainers in theory, but in a day, and it's we're talking about a Triple Crown race here. We're talking about an opportunity to run third and have a really nice check. I think that there'd be some trainers who would at least want to take a shot and say, hey, maybe on Bloodlines, a mile and a half seems a little long, but my horse's way of going might give him a shot. I mean, if I had a good looking allowance horse, I would be looking to maybe step up and take a shot at my piece of the pie in a situation like that. It seems oddly conservative that we don't have more horses pointing that way, but there still is time between now and Citi Field for some folks to get ambitious, and maybe we'll see that field rounded out a bit by the time we get there. And speaking of Citi Field, I should try to make that as a Mets fan, and who loves talking baseball and loves talking racing. It does sound like a great event to be a part of, and maybe I'll see you out there, Steve.
Oh, definitely. I had not been to Citi before last year's draw, and I was tickled to be able to go. I mean, as a kid, I went to Shea. I can't tell you how many times. I mean, we were at Met games, I mean, just on a regular basis for years. And I don't know, I just, my dad actually had gotten down to Citi Field a handful of times, way more before me. And so that was an attraction, you know, to go. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Right now you're looking at this group, Everfast and the two Pletchers, Intrepid Heart and Spinoff, Tacitus, of course, Tax, War of Will, and Sir Winston. So the two Cassies, two Pletchers, Master Fencer. It does look like Greg Sacco is going to run Jovia. So that's the nine pack we've got right now. And every indication, even though Brad Cox has been saying the decision hasn't been made, it does seem like the lean is against Owendale participating. So that's what we're looking at right now for next Tuesday.
He definitely seems like a trainer who likes to, you know, in that very modern way, likes to have a lot of time between races. It would certainly be an interesting runner were he to turn up. I'm really curious to see what War of Will does back. I mean, Tacitus seems like in the European betting markets was just super strong at the top of the market. I was sort of hoping he might sneak away a little bit. It sure didn't seem that way. It seemed based on the early betting anyway. I mean, he was still a strong favorite even after War of Will won the Preakness. I would think in our markets, War of Will be a strong favorite. What are you hearing buzz-wise about what's going to shape up?
There's a lot of patter that, in fact, Tacitus could end up favored. There's a number of, in fact, John White was leaning in that direction. He thought that Tacitus will end up favored. At the very least, it'll be closer, clearly, than Improbable and War of Will ended up in Baltimore, you know, which was, I would say, the biggest surprise of you know, the aftermath of Preakness continued to be, you know, the odd betting and, you know, from a lot of different areas. Everybody seems to think that it'll be very close and that there's a real chance that Tacitus goes off favored.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what the overseas betting markets are suggesting. But I think it's a fun... It may only be nine horses, but I think the War of Will storyline is a great storyline. Tacitus is a horse I'm just personally really looking forward to seeing how he does. I'm excited for it. And, of course, the card... stakes laden to the extreme. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to find wagering-wise this Belmont Stakes Day. And I think from a sporting point of view, there's plenty to follow in the big race as well, even if it's not maybe as deep as we would have thought in terms of the number of participants or their resumes. You certainly have some pretty darn interesting horses right at the top of the market.
Pete, we will look forward to next week. We'll have a lot of fun, and... if we see you Tuesday, that's perfect. But have a great time, and mazel tov to your brother and the family. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of elbow bending and toasting and dancing and carrying on. Have a wonderful time, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, my friend. I'll send a picture now of the view for this visit. It was definitely, we've had some good ones, but this was the best in my 5 years of being on the show. Definitely my best view for an appearance. So I'll send that along and tag you. And thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate those kind words.
Not at all. Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly and in the Money podcast and much, much more. And we'll all be together in New York next week. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I got a couple other pieces of news, including a real estate transaction that was a long time coming. And I don't know if you saw this, but... we've got a note that concerns Satish. I want to slip that in. Well, we'll come right back. Top of the hour, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. And, in fact, we very well may focus on Hill & Dale's Curlin because of Vino Rosso's big win. And, by the way, 105 buyer. That was a real broadside by Vino Rosso in the Gold Cup. Back after this, Andy Serling in a little bit, Mike Welch, Rudy Brissett, and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other the vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. A couple of things. We'll just do some news and some other fill-in from the weekend. I mentioned going out toward the break. Satish and Ann Sinan sold the farm at Ocala. The Padua Stables, just a glorious facility. What Satish did there. You know, over the, you know, the whatever, 15, 20 years. I mean, it's a world-class facility. But the interesting part of it is, you know, and Satish, it's been on the market for, gosh, I would guess it's been on the market for 8-9 years easily. And Satish, well, you know, they weren't going to give it away. If somebody came along and had the, you know, had a price within reason, they would take it. But what's going to happen is, from what I understand, from what I read, and Joan Pletcher is handling the transactions, the property is going to be relisted, actually, and subdivided to some degree. The farm part, you know, with the foaling barns and all that and the paddocks and, you know, that is going to be offered up as a, you know, as one parcel. And then I get the sense that, you know, the rest of it is going to be, you know, sold for development. And this happens to be, this is a topic for those listening in and around Ocala, you know better, obviously, but there's some real contention about what's going on down there in regards to the green space and some of the encroachment particularly on the farmland. And Mrs. Weber is actually in the midst of a fight with the government, with the state, that wants to apparently run an interstate spur through Live Oak, and she's having none of it, and I don't blame her at all. I mean, there's something certainly to be said for, you know, for development, and Ocala Ocala had a period where growth had kind of ceased. And we discussed some of this with Tom Ventura when we were there in March. But, yeah, there's also a way to develop and control the growth. It'll be interesting. I'll talk to Satish maybe over the weekend. I'm curious about, what he thinks will happen. But after a long period on the market, Padua changing hands. Next week, I want to mention, too, while I just thought of this, we're going to get an opportunity to visit with Dr. Ducharme. And I don't know if I met, did I discuss this at all last week? We were in such a, the post Preakness scenario. We had Kid Chocolate run while we were in Baltimore, and I guess was on Friday. Yeah, it was on Friday, on Black Eyed Susan Day. And, he was a ridgeling, and we had him gelded, and, really had a problematic issue with the undistended testicle, and was doing great. Had trouble breathing. Came out of the race with the paralysis in the larynx, and needed tieback surgery. And it just so happened that Dr. Ducharme from Cornell, the creator of the Cornell collar, and had, been with us on the show, I'm going to tell you, 10 years ago, it's been at least 10 years, and it was around the time, given the Cornell collar, it might even be more than 10 years ago. It might go back, 13, 14 years ago. And his availability, he basically is the father of tieback surgery. And he was going to be downstate. So we had the opportunity for him to do the surgery. And this was last week, last Thursday, and it went very well. But it gave me the opportunity to ask Dr. Ducharme if he would, visit again with us on the air and do a horse health segment and basically update us on tieback surgery, because there's been innovations. There's been some nuanced changes, including the way in which the cartilage basically is gathered, and the way in which the restricted airway is opened. And there had been some challenges to suturing and holding apart the blockage so that horses can get the proper amount of air. So next week we will on Horse Health, probably Tuesday, because Dr. Ducharme actually took a week off of vacation this week. So otherwise you would have heard from him this week. But I'm excited to get Normand Ducharme back on the show after a long hiatus. And you'll get, and especially because these breathing topics have been, certainly with Omaha Beach, with his issue with entrapment, it's funny because it occurred to me, and we discussed it with Dr. Alday, but Dr. Ducharme, this is his particular area of expertise. So you'll get a very detailed and I think timely update to progress in the area of tieback surgeries. All right, helping your horse breathe and be that much better on the racetrack. And there is there's no risk on the surgery. There's no, what there isn't is guarantee that, you know, that it 100%, you know, works and stays working. So we'll get into that. I think it'll be valuable and time well spent. Let me get also a chance to fill you in on the results from Evangeline Saturday night, because the Louisiana Legends sequence, I hinted at it, but I didn't get you the results. And we'll just go through them. Let me see. What's the best way to, where do I have them? I got the charts somewhere, and I've also got the figs. I'll just run through the chart real quick. The Mademoiselle, Larry Jones, who maintains that Louisiana string during the rest of the year after he heads up to Kentucky. But Colonel Thoroughbreds, Hours to Run, the Half Hours Mare, she was a easy and dominant winner in the Mademoiselle early on the card. You had Snowball win the Soiree. This was the three-year-old fillies. And actually a May A Priority foal, Tin Roof Farm, and Sam Bro. At Diego Senez Road, Wire to Wire, Galaxy 36. This was a starter stake. There were two starter stakes on the card, and Ron Fischot sent out Galaxy 36, also with Senez, but it was that Monty Man that Fischot handles for the Ivory Sisters Racing. And that Monty Man's a serious horse. 4-5 winner with G Money. Monty Man. Wasn't he? I think he was last year's Louisiana bred. I don't know if he's Louisiana bred of the year, but I know he was. I think maybe the champion, maybe the sprint champion last year. Shang won the Cheval. Steve Asmussen and the Highland Brats. This is a Shanghai Bobby Colt, bred by Cloyce Clark Jr. and Richard Aramia on board. You also had Bermuda Star, Victor Arsenault, and Star Guitar Mare, also with Senez. And beat the 4-5 favorite, actually. Eddie Johnston's Is 2 was 4-5. And the 9-2 winner for Mrs. Evelyn, for Britt Lynn, and Monty Man winning that sprint, which gets you to the turf, Magis, and Delmer Caldwell for Double Dam Farm. This is a Musket Man, 6-year-old, 5-1, too. And then that other starter stake, Alan Landry, sent out Just Stormin'. So they had nice. That was a nice card for Louisiana Legends. There you go. And Ron Fischot wrote a really nice Facebook post, just talking about how much the game and the sport and the industry, what it means to him, and how it's given him everything. And it was really, that's one of the reasons I wanted to make sure to note the results from Evangeline. Let's take a break. We'll come back and sit down with Sid Fernando. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, and a very big result for Hill and Dale's Curlin, another Grade 1 winner, Vino Rosso. A big performance in that Gold Cup at Santa Anita. Back after this with Sid.